born in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. What a way to begin the incarnation of the great I Am. Placing Mary's little baby in the center of a universal plan that brings us all back together like birds of a feather, every boy, girl, woman, and man. Satan was right at his heels when he came to earth. He tried to stop him one way or another from the time of his birth. Just when he thought he had succeeded, something happened at the cross of Calvary that turned defeat into victory, restoring the family, the Father, the Savior, and me. Many times we get discouraged from trying to fight a battle that we can't win. And too often I've found we tend to carry our burdens around. But Jesus said we gotta lay them all upon Him. Rejoices every time a lost child comes home. Don't you know there's a place in the kingdom for those who roam? So if you're looking for an answer, it was spoken long before the world began. It brings us all back together like birds of a feather, every boy, girl, woman, and man. Many times we get discouraged from trying to fight a battle that we can't win. And too often I've found we tend to carry our burdens around. But Jesus said we gotta lay them all upon Him. Born in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. What a way to begin the incarnation of the great I Am. Placing Mary's little baby in the center of a universal plan that brings us all back together like birds of a feather, every boy, girl, woman, and man. Brings us all back together like birds of a feather, every boy, girl, woman, and man.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Pulse WV Live. And I am John Fowler, your host, pastor of the Gasaway campus. I don't know why I keep saying that. I am not pastor of the Winfield campus. That is Jay Mace's job, and I am in Gasaway. And having fun up there in Gasaway. We were there last night for a rehearsal. Have a baby dedication this Sunday morning, so we're real excited about what God is doing there. And He's growing our church. We have a couple of other people within our church that are pregnant. So that's church growth, and we are really excited about that. I always tell you that I'm really excited about a lot of stuff, but I really am because you know, when you're involved in ministry and how tough sometimes it can be, but yet how faithful God is and how He does things, and I'm just really encouraged about it. Don't forget about the Pulse WV Live talk show tonight with the heavy hitters. Christy Fowler will be here. Tim Morris, along with John Sandy, will be back. Got a lot to discuss. I was up till about 2 o'clock this morning working on some videos that we're going to be sharing tonight, and we're going to be real political tonight. So if you enjoy that kind of thing, I encourage you to watch, because it is definitely something that I think that you will truly enjoy. So I'm getting ready to drive out of town yesterday, and I'm on the phone, hands-free, of course, with the Pulse peeps during our prayer, because we pray at 8 o'clock every evening. And so and there's a tree, a huge tree in the road. Man, it was crazy. And you almost couldn't see it. And so anyway, I thought, wow, that's unreal. But I was glad to be able to get around it, and it was like going out of town. So it's just amazing how, you know, God protects us when we don't even think that he's protecting us, and that's just kind of the way he is. He's a great God. We have people watching this morning already. We have Kelly and Sam Wayne from up in Braxton County. They're excited to hear the gospel music this morning. That was off of Ricky Skaggs' Christmas album. And I remember being in Daytona Beach a few years ago, and Christy and I running the bridge, because we try to go to Daytona Beach a couple times a year. And I was running that bridge at Christmas time, a week before Christmas. I'm listening to Christmas carols at the beach. It's amazing. You go to the beach around Christmas time, and what happens is you go into the restaurants, and they're playing the same songs, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, blah, 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 and it's like, this is messed up. This is really messed up. And but they have Christmas at other places too. I didn't know if you knew that or not. But anyway, Vince, good morning. Hope you're doing okay. Danielle, welcome this morning. Kathy from up in the great state of Kanawha County is watching today. Nellie and Dad are watching in Jackson County. Kathy Kishner is watching, and good to have you this morning. And Ed's watching. Good to see you this morning. Lindsay Brooks watching. Hey, baby, hope you're having a great day today. Him at Wayne's watching. Wow, you guys are up early today. It's a three-day weekend. That's a truth. We have Labor Day. I wonder if Labor Day was created for women for their babies, you know, because they go through labor. I always wondered about that. I always heard that having a baby is like taking your bottom lip and pulling it over top of your head. Man, that just does not interest me at all. I just thought I'd share that to you today. I was, okay, let me tell you a story. So yesterday, we have an office at our house. And Christy was praying. She said, I pray, God, that I find $100 in all this junk that's underneath our desk. You know how you get all this stuff underneath your desk. And don't go looking for $100 yet. Let me tell you, let me finish the story. So anyway, she says, I'm praying to find $100. Of course, I'm in gas away at rehearsal. And so I come home, and there's $100 laying there on the desk. And I asked her, she said, do you think that's real? I said, well, yeah, I spent 19 years in banking. I know a $100 bill. And just by the way, it smells. And nothing like crisp, brand new $100 bills. You just, a couple times a day, you just walk into the vault and take a pile of $100 bills, and you just go, ah, there's nothing like the smell of $100 bills. Okay, come on, John, come back. Okay, I'm back. Okay, so anyway, she finds $100. And it was on my side of the desk, because we have a two-part desk, and so it's on my side of the desk, and she finds this $100 bill. And she says, can I have it? And I said, absolutely. I said, I know where that came from. And what happened was, several months ago, when Winfield was playing volleyball, Jay had some money to give me to put into the Winfield checking account that was tithes and offerings. So I said, no problem. I go to the bank, and I make the deposit. And he looks at the account, and it's $100 short of what he said was in there. And I thought, oh, no. And I thought, where is it? Kathy says, sniff at that virus. That's so funny. Lindsay said, if mom found $100, she owes me $100. Oh, that's so funny. Don't sniff money. That's gross. It's brand new. It just came from the Fed. I mean, it's so, I mean, there's just nothing like $20 bills smell good, too. So anyway, she finds $100 bills. But so what happened was, I guess I had dropped that $100 because what I did to make the deposit right of what Jay said it was, I took $100 out of my pocket to put into it because I couldn't find $100. And I just couldn't figure it out. So I put $100 and made it right. And so Christy found the $100. So I blessed my wife with $100. So I just thought that that was a neat story. So you can, just pray. It's hard to tell. I remember one time we were at Myrtle Beach, and I've told this story from the pulpit before, and we were on a budget because we had just gotten married and we were going to the beach, and so we had a certain amount of money planned for each day, you know, and we didn't get into the next day's money until the next day. And so what happened was we wanted TCBY, you know, the yogurt place. And so my dad and I owned a vending business at that time, so I thought, well, you can always find, you know, change around the vending machines and the newspaper machine. So we pulled over and checked behind a few of those. We were just very few pennies, dollar and a half. So I don't remember what it was short. So found a bunch of change. So then we're driving, and Chrissy's believing. She's a believing God. And so I'm driving the speed limit. You know, I'm driving, I think it was 65 at that time on 17 down through there, 17 bypass down in Myrtle Beach. She says, stop. She said, there's a quarter laying in the road. In the middle of the road, there's a quarter laying there. And that's what we needed. We needed a quarter. And so I pulled over, dodged traffic, and got the quarter, and we went to TCBY and got some yogurt. True stories, very much so true stories. I want to share with you today, and thank you for watching today. I want to offer you a book that I think that you should get. It's Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. This book will make you feel that you're not even saved. I mean, I can't read it all at once because it just makes me just cringe at some of the things that we do as men and women of God, so to speak, which we are. And but let me just give you a couple of things here, and then we'll get into the Word today. This is on page 24 of the book, and I have it highlighted. I highlight stuff. It says, the secret of praying is praying in secret. Praying in secret. The secret of praying is praying in secret. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. Wow. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. Wow. That's really good. Father, we just pray that you bless our study today. We thank you, God, for it. And Father, we just pray that we just see shackles broken this morning in people's lives. And God, we love you, and we praise you, and we're looking so forward to what you're going to share with us today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Want to give a shout out to Emmett Wayne. He posted on Facebook yesterday. He tried out for American Idol, and so they're doing that online now. So Emmett, I just pray that you get to the second round and be able to get on the show. And so I just think that's really encouraging. So we just hope you do well. Emmett's a really neat songwriter. I've had the opportunity to help him on some music parts, and that's a privilege to be able to help people do that. Let me give you a couple things here. These are my notes. For you to be dead, you must first be broken. And I'm talking about dead to sin. You must first be broken. Broken to what? And what I put down is to be sanctified, which is free from sin. Free from what you are not dead to. You must be alive to oppose it. And you also, I wrote down here, be alive to what will kill the addiction to the struggle and to the habit. You have to be alive to what will kill the addiction to the struggle and to the habit. So if you are alive in Jesus, then you're dead to the addiction, you're dead to the struggle, and you're dead to the habit, because he says here in that a praying man, a sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. Now, if you look at, and this is in one of my studies that I was doing in the book, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we know who is in the world. We know that the enemy is in the world, but we also, we have someone greater that is inside of us. Greater is he that is in me, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, our God is mighty. Our God is mighty. Our God is great. And we are great because God lives inside of us. We're not great on our own, but we're great because of Jesus. Amen. Can I get somebody to say amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if we are broken, no longer in one piece, here's what broken means. No longer in one piece or in working order. That's the way we need to be. Brokenness will bring revival. Obedience will bring revival. Give up things that control you. Give up things that control you. It's so awesome. We have the ability to give up things. You know, Christianity is not about always things that you have to give up, but it's also things that you have to start. It takes 21 days to start or break a habit. And that's what the worldly statistics are. But I am telling you, because of Jesus and because of greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, that means that I can kick a habit right now. I remember, and I know Vince laid down cigarettes. He's watching today, and he's told this story. He quit cigarettes, and he had been, you know, using cigarettes and snuff and all that for a long time, and he gave that up, just laid it down. And see, my dad did that. My dad smoked years and years and years ago, and he smoked one. He worked a route truck for Mr. B Potato Chip Company and for Dan D and for Snyder's for years. That's what he did. He worked in retail before that, Cox's Department Store years ago, and he smoked the last cigarette, and that was it, and never picked him up again. See, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So here's the thing. You can't give up something until you're tired of it. When you're tired of it and you set your mind to it, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to share that with you. So there's nothing that you can't do. There's no limitations in anything, because the Bible does not limit you with anything. So I want you to be encouraged. And so we're in Romans 6 today. Hope you have your Bibles with you. I'd like to welcome you to the Pulse WV Live. Those are joining us. Frank Miller, good morning to you. Glad having you with us today. And don't forget that we have the Pulse WV Live tonight with Tim Morris, John Sandy, Christy Fowler, along with myself. And we are excited about the opportunity to be able to get together with you. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 6. Lindsay, are you coming down tonight? I just need to know if I need to do these videos or if you plan on doing them. Let me know if you could. Dying to sin. That's what we're talking about, Romans chapter 6. Here's what he says. This is in verse 1. And the title of this is just Dying to Sin. What shall we say then? And let me before I read this. In the world that we are in today, in society today, in the church world today, doesn't believe that a believer, a Christian, can walk in perfection. That we will always be flawed. That we will always have something that, but what God is talking about in the scripture when he says to be perfect as I am perfect, be holy as I am holy, be righteous as I am righteous. Did he give us a plan that we could not live? The rich young ruler only lacked one thing. Jesus told him. He said, you only lack one thing. Can you imagine getting to a place where you lack one thing? Christy couldn't take me if I just lacked one thing. She couldn't live under the same roof with me. Then that would be pride. Let me see here. Let me show you something. I'm going to give you a scripture here to make sure that you know that it's not me. Go, if you would, over into 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:16. 1 Peter 1:16. Here's what he says. In verse 16 of 1 Peter, he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Wow. He says here, let me just go back a little bit. And this is why, let me tell you something. I used to use the Bible on my tablet and this kind of thing. I went back to carrying the real Bible. And like preaching from, because sometimes if you look at one scripture, it'll lead you to another one, and you may not see it on your tablet or on your phone or whatever. I'm not against that, but listen to this. Back in 13, it says, wherefore, gird your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to former lusts in your ignorance. Now remember, we talked about that not long ago on the show. In West Virginia, if this Bible was written in West Virginia, it would be plumb ignorant. You know, people say they're ignorant, but in West Virginia, we say you're plumb ignorant. So let's put that. We say that your former lust and your plumb ignorance. Verse 15 says, but as he that is called, you is holy. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be ye holy in all manner. You know what, like John Sandy says, you know what the Greek word for all is all. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So Jesus has encouraged us and wants us to walk in true holiness. One of those ways to walk in true holiness is our prayer life. And I've talked to you about that, and I just read what Leonard Ravenhill said just a few minutes ago about our prayer life. Lindsay says, daggum ignorant. Daggum, D-A-G-G-U-M, daggum. That's funny. So I want to encourage you. Don't think, but see what the way people were raised in a lot of places, including where we live, there is a thought process that you can't walk a victorious life, and that you are a sinner always. And you've got to help me to understand something, that if he tells me not to allow sin to reign in my mortal body, it's my choice, not God's choice. Jesus already died on the cross for the sin. But what he is saying to us is, he said, to not let sin reign in your mortal body. Then guess what? You have the ability to not allow sin to reign in your mortal body. Just like he said in 1 Peter. Be holy as I am holy. And he's not talking about your socks. I got this pair of socks that I wear all the time. It's got a hole. I run in them, and it's got a hole in the bottom of them. They're holy, but they're not saved. Just thought I'd share that with you. Okay. And how you get holy is we pray, we seek God, we spend time before Him, and we get the sin out of our lives. We use the, so to speak, spiritual plunger to get the junk out of us. Get the worldly thoughts and process out of us. Okay, here's back to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay. Through grace are we saved through faith. We know that. We know that we're saved through faith. Okay. And that we have grace. And we have a grace card that when that the Bible says, let me give you something here. Let me give you something else. This is good. This is good. This is good scripture here. Let me give you something else here. Now I'm really going to get to Romans. I promise I'm going to get to it. But what happens is the Lord will bring another verse to my mind, and then it's just you got to go with it. Okay, over in 1 John, talking about obeying God. Okay, obeying God. 1 John, chapter 2. Let's see, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Well, there it is, right there. Okay. Well, I can't live a sin-free life. You can with Jesus. It's contradictive. It's contradictive. People say, and I've heard preachers say, well, I'm a sinner. You're no longer a sinner if you are saved because you are a new creature. You say, well, I still sin. You don't have to. You still sin because you don't have your flesh under submission. If you get your flesh under submission, which you can, you have authority over the flesh. Your flesh will sin every chance you allow it to, but you don't have to. It's a choice. It's like I've said many times. You can go to McDonald's and get a salad, or you can go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. On the way home from the Connect Center here in Taze Valley, there's a Tudor's biscuit. And the other day, I saw a commercial for biscuits and gravy. Well, I try to eat right, and I exercise, and I try to do that. And let me tell you something. I couldn't tell you how many times I've driven by the Tudor's Biscuit World in Taze Valley. And it's like I feel God that I need to stop and get that biscuit and gravy. Hallelujah. But the line is too long through the drive-thru. It's out the road. It's like I can't believe people don't have to work and they wait out the road. And it's like there's 10 cars deep to the drive-thru. And I'm thinking, who wants to wait on that? Good morning, Connie. Hope you're doing well. And so I'm thinking... So I haven't done it yet. I haven't been to Tudor's having that biscuits and gravy. Emmett says a Big Macs are disappointing to him. He gets more of a thrill out of a double quarter pounder. That's really good, Emmett. You know why? Because those things are made fresh. And that's what I eat. I don't eat a Big Mac. If I ever, which is very rare that I go to McDonald's, that's what I have. I have the quarter pounder. Okay, here's what he says. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Okay, so what's that tell you? If he tells us not to sin, then we have the ability not to sin. And if any man, this will be in West Virginia, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now this is good. This is great preaching. He doesn't say, and when any man sins, which means that you have a habit of it. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That means we have Jesus to go to bat for us for forgiveness of that sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, can I share something with you? I'm going to give you a testimony. I promise I'm going to get in Romans chapter 6. There was something in my life that I was just having a horrible time at one point in my life trying to just give victory. I'm telling you, I don't know if anybody can testify in your life, but an area of your life that you were trying to get victory in, and you just continued to flounder and to struggle, and you just couldn't seem to get victory over it. Let me tell you something. I started praying more, and I started reading more. It's not even an issue now. It's not even an issue now. Never comes up anymore. Not even a desire anymore. Praying and studying and seeking God's will, being before Him, will kill sin in your life. Okay, I promise. Romans chapter 6. But isn't that good over in 1 John? He says, if we sin, doesn't mean when we sin. And he tells us to sin not. All right, now here we go. This is what Christians need to know. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That means that you live under more grace because you've got more sin. So you're having to cash in the grace card, so to speak, cash in the blood, so to speak, so you can get forgiveness for that, because we're double-minded in all our ways and unstable, and that's what causes a sinful life. Okay, now here, it just goes along with what, let me just put my finger in here with 1 John. 1 John. Okay, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Okay, he says, sin not. All right, over in Romans, he says, we in verse 1, we shall say unto thee, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. God forbid and sin not work together. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So if we live a sinful life as a Christian, it is contradictive to the word of God, because we are not supposed to sin. Jesse Duplantis says that he has to literally make himself sin. If he wants to sin, he would have to literally make himself sin. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism. That's what that represents, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the old man. Of what took place on the inner part is an outward confession of to the world, and that's what baptism is. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Well, glory right there. Jason Snow, good morning to you. Hope you're having a great day. Now, that right there will preach. That look at that. Walking in the newness of life. And we have our lives are renewed every day, the Bible says. Surely, the 23rd Psalm, surely mercy and grace shall follow you all the days of your life. Look behind you. There's grace right behind you. It's always right there. And if the person's name's Grace, then you have double grace. If the person named Grace is walking behind you and you have grace, then you have double grace. Don't know where that came from, but it's free. Walk in the newness of life. So if we can get the sin out of us, get the carnality out of us, get our flesh under control, we're walking in the newness of life because of salvation. Wow, that's really good. But see, the church isn't preaching that today. What the church is preaching is that you're going to sin every day. Who said you had to sin every day? When you, okay, here it goes back to this. Number one, this is what I told Jay Mace on Wednesday during his session. I held up the Bible, and I said, Jay, what I'm concerned about is I'm concerned that people aren't reading it, but then there's another thing that I'm concerned about is I don't think people believe it. I don't think people believe what they read. I think there's some people that are either watching today or watching in the future across the world. They are saying, I can't live that way. Guess what? You can't live a sin-free life on your own. But through Jesus, I can do all things. I just read it to you just a little bit ago. And greater is he that is in you, 1 John 4:4, wonderful verse. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So you have the ability to overcome sin. I'm preaching to you and I'm preaching to me. Hallelujah. Because we're walking in the newness of life. We've been changed. We've been born again. See, people will say this, and I, there's a church that just absolutely just bugs me with this. They won't have an altar call, but, well, we invite you to come down and shake our hand, and if you have any questions about anything, you can come down and talk to us about it. But they never give people an opportunity to accept Jesus and to be born again. But I will tell you this, the church is packed. So what's that tell you? I think Andrew Womack said one time that if you give me a church of 3,000, within 6 months, I'll have it down to 1,500. And if you give me a church that has 1,500, then I can get that church down to 500 within just a little bit of time. Let me tell you why, and it's not that you're running people off, but people don't want to hear this. People don't want to hear that you have to live right, that you have to be obedient. It's not stinking thinking. It's walking in the righteousness of God. It's walking in Him. Wow. Walking in the newness of life. So here's what he says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that is the death, burial, and the resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Wow, I got the revelation. Let me give you a revelation. Frank says novelty is easy, intimacy is hard. Walking in the intimacy scars scares most away. Yeah, that's the truth. Isn't that the truth? It does. That's a good word. Thank you, Frank, for sharing that. Okay, let me share this with you. Let me give you the revelation on this. Okay, so we're walking in verse 4. This is meat and taters, you all. Okay, verse 5, walking in the newness of God in verse 5, this. He tells us, in the likeness of his death, like be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Now, my mentor, James Ashworth, who's in heaven now, he said, there is nowhere in the Bible that says that the flesh is good. Anywhere in the Bible it talks about the flesh, it tells us that the flesh has to be crucified. My goodness, I told him not long before he died, I said, your legacy will never die as long as I'm alive. Because he's preached this into me for years and years and years. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified. Okay, I'm talking the old man. Before you were saved, the old man is crucified. And how do we do that? We crucify it means we kill it. We have to kill the flesh. And I'm not talking about go out and commit suicide. I'm telling you, you need to kill the flesh, which is the worldly desires that the flesh wants. Wow. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. This is the body of sin, that it might be destroyed. That means that we are putting it into subjection to the will of God. The old man, crucified, dead. That the body of sin, this is the body of sin, might be destroyed, and henceforth that we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. If you can get your emotions dead, if you can get your addiction dead, if you can get your feelings dead. I couldn't tell you how many times I talk to people, well, I feel this or I feel that. It's not based on feeling. It's based on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And, man, I tell you, if we can just get a hold of that, get our feelings under control and walk in the newness of God, because we have the old man crucified and the body of sin, that we may not serve sin, because we walk in the newness of life. A lot of people don't believe this. So just rip out chapter 6 of Romans. You know, and just throw it away. Put it through the shredder. He says, verse 7, and let me read this again, and then I'll get to verse 8. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we can get dead in the flesh, free from sin, if we can get dead in the flesh, then we're walking in the newness of God. We're walking in his likeness, which is verse 5. The old man is crucified. The body of sin is destroyed, that we no longer serve sin. And then verse 8 says this, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now if we are dead with Christ, that means that Christ was crucified. His flesh was crucified. The Bible says that Jesus was perfected through his sufferings. Now think of that. The Son of Man was perfected. I'm thinking he's already perfected. I have trouble with that verse. But he says, verse 8, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. This is so good. I hope you carry on this all day and chew on this Romans chapter 6 all day. Knowing that Christ, this is verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this. Likeness, reckon, that's a good West Virginia word, I reckon. I don't know, I think a hillbilly wrote Romans. I'm just carrying on. That's so funny. It's like reckon. I reckon. Yeah, Paul. Paul writing this. Had a little bit of West Virginian in him. Somebody made a comment the other day because I was picking on the way people from West Virginia talk. I was talking about no tree and check-ins account and this kind of thing. And people thought that I was talking about Braxton County. I didn't hear those words in Braxton County. I heard those words in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, in Kanawha County. That's where I learned those words. I wasn't picking on Braxton County. I think people in Braxton County talk better than people down here. He says this, likewise, reckon that ye also yourselves to death indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So are we alive with Jesus? Are we walking in the newness of him? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So tell me, why do we sin? Because it's a lazy streak that we get in us. We get doulas. Now, that's a good word. We get doulas in our walk with Jesus, and we decide that we're not going to obey. Now, you have to understand, there's people all over the world that are listening to this podcast and watching on Facebook and YouTube. And so when they hear these words, just like I said the other day, summing up the week, there are a lot of people that don't know that West Virginia is a state. Western Virginia. Okay. Verse 12. Now this should really help you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Okay, now here's what preachers will say, and I've heard preachers say this. Well, that's what it says, but do the best you can. Well, he didn't put it in the Word of God. Paul didn't write it in the Word of God if he didn't get the revelation that you can live a sin-free life. That's what he's saying. Okay, so let me ask you something. If he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, which is this thing, which got flesh on it, then is there a way for you to not let sin reign in your mortal body? Is that a suggestion? Or is he telling us not to do it? My thing is he's telling us not to do it. So is there anything in the Word, and let me give you this, did Jesus give us a plan that we couldn't live? Did he give us a plan that we couldn't live? And it goes back to Leonard Ravenhill's book. And let me tell you something. Go Google Leonard Ravenhill. And, I mean, this is one of the old-time saints. I'm talking with Spurgeon and all these old-timers, man. I tell you, even back years ago, these guys would go into a town and shut down the strip joints and shut down the bars and for years. People hated it when these men of God. And the thing about it is, people would go. They would have intercessors that would go in weeks ahead of times and rent hotel rooms just to pray. The secret of praying is praying in secret. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. Wow, that's good. That's the truth. So verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should not obey it in the lust thereof. Okay, now here we go. Two more verses. Like Ross Perot. I don't know if you all remember Ross Perot. He beat George. Well, no, he didn't beat George, but he took votes from George Sr. that Bill Clinton, so Bill Clinton could win. But he was this little short dude from Texas, millionaire, and he was on Larry King Live one night, and he was saying, Larry, can I finish, Larry? Can I finish? That's what he said. So can I finish? I just got two more verses. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to God. That means if you yield, that means you are giving the opportunity to God to allow him to work in you. You are yielding yourself as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So what are your instruments? That thing that's under your nose is your mouth. Neither yield your mouth. Take your member in there. Neither yield your mouth as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's good. Okay, let's go this. Let's go another step further. Neither yield your mouth as members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to God. Neither yield your eyes as instruments of unrighteousness. Neither yield your ears to instruments. I go over this storytale or whatever it is with Ari, our granddaughter. Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Head, shoulders, knees and toes. And then she'll point. eyes and ears and mouth, and then she'll take her finger and put it on my nose. Nose, head, shoulder, knees, and toes. We cannot yield our members. We can't. Okay, let's go a little further. Neither yield your fists as members. Neither yield your attitude as members of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourself to God. So if we are not yielding our members, but we are of unrighteousness, because those things are unrighteous, but yielding yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So it should be your instruments. Your eyes should be an instrument of righteousness. Your tongue should be an instrument of righteousness. Your fist should be an instrument of righteousness by slaying the devil. Not people, but slaying the devil. Here's what people forget is that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our battle is not the flesh. Our battle is the spiritual. We fight things in the flesh that we need not to fight because it's a spiritual battle. It just is. What happens is what goes on in the spiritual manifests itself in the flesh. Wow. For sin, this is verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Okay, so kind of recap Romans chapter 6. God forbid that we sin. Sin no longer has reign over you, no longer has dominion over you. Wow, that's good. It's a good word today. Let me do some house cleaning things. Ed, hope you have a great day at work today. Kelly, see what Kelly says here. Kelly says, verse 12 is a command. In grammar, it's you understood, which is the command statement. It's not a suggestion. That's good. It's not. The whole word of God is not a suggestion. You know, it's a command that we live. That we live sin-free, and how we got on that today is just awesome. And that's what I'll leave you with today in the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. I really enjoy meeting with you all on a day-to-day basis, and just God just gives us some really cool things to talk about, and I'm just really thankful. And I'm thankful for you all for being a part of the Pulse WV Live. Let me look at you when I say that. I'm trying to find a song here to leave with. And so when you think, hey, Emmett, give me a song to go off with, if you're still on there, type me a song here. Let me see here. I'll find us a song here to go off with. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good. He's so good. Trying to find a good song. Trying to see if Emmett's still on to give us a good tune here to go off with, and I can find it. Shackles. Let's see here. Shackles. Who sings that? Because it pulls up several groups here. I don't know who sings that. Okay, I'll wait on Kelly to tell me here. Okay, let me just do a couple of house cleaning things. This the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition is on YouTube and Facebook Live. It takes about 24 hours for it to post on YouTube. It posts instantly on Facebook. You can share it. I encourage you to share. If you enjoy the message, I encourage you to share. Through the process of this, we are also on Spotify. Both the Pulse WV, which is the sermons from Pastor Jay and myself every Sunday and Wednesday, are on the Pulse WV podcast, which is on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Play. the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition is also on this. So I want you to understand that you can share this on your Instagram, because you can share it on your Snapchat, you can share it on your Twitter, you can show it, you can share this. And I encourage you have to go to Spotify to be able to share it on Instagram and share it on Spotify to get the word out, because this is good word. Jesus is so good about revelation. And so I just want to encourage you to share this. Then I also want to encourage you. Let me give you this. If you're blessed by this ministry and God has blessed you and you want to partner with our ministry, I encourage you to give one of the three different ways, the Pulse WV, thepulsewv.com, which is our website, through PayPal. You can give. You can also write a check and mail it to P.O. Box 141 Gassaway, 26624. Or you can, one of the simplest ways is text the word Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, the name of the church, to 1-304-244-3187. And we encourage you, we're believing that God is going to pay off our church through you and through your contribution for the month of September. We can pay this church off with the people that watch the show. We could absolutely pay our church off in 2 weeks, and we are believing God to do that so that we can be a blessing to other people, because we feel like that God wants that to take place so that we can be a blessing to other people. So God is faithful. Amen. So tonight, 7 o'clock, don't forget the Pulse WV Live. We'll be political tonight. We've got a lot of stories that we're going to be talking about. Sarah Thomas, thank you for joining today. Kelly, I've got that. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. I'm John Fowler, and even though Monday is a holiday, I pray you have a great day, and I pray that you have a great weekend, and we love you, and we thank you. All right, Kelly, here we go. Shackles, here it is.
Sure is hot out here. No.
There you go. Have a great night. Have a great day, everybody.
Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wait a minute. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all didn't know I could do that, did you?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?